Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 29th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we will visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Aban Zirikli. He was raised in Damascus, Syria, the son of an engineer who was encouraged to study music. He became a professional concert violinist and also a civil engineer for a time. 2 years ago, he and his wife moved to Maine to be closer to one of their daughters and her young family. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Aban.
Hi. Thank you.
You grew up in a city that's considered to be the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world, established between 10,000 and 8,000 BCE. I wonder what you can tell us about your daily life growing up in Damascus.
Well, actually, of course, it is one of the oldest cities in the world, but where I grew up, it was, you know, the new part of the city, which is something, I mean, nothing special about it. Yeah, nothing special about it. But I would say Damascus was in that time, a very cozy city, very cozy city. Active, there is, it is energetic, there is cultural activities, but in the same time, it was very cozy. Very few cars, and, you know, a lot, I mean, you can reach almost wherever you want walking, you see, and so I went to the School of Music when I was a kid. I always went walking, so and I like that in a way, but by time Damascus got changed a lot, actually, according to my taste, to the worse. I don't know, maybe that's what happened all over the world, the same story. So it became very, very, very busy, very big, something like 6 million people live in it, and a lot of cars, etc., etc., etc. But still, Damascus for me, sometimes, somewhere in Damascus, I can find it still the same coziness. And maybe also it's about the people. The people, of course, changed, that the reality, but not really too much changed.
It stays a traditional Damascus feel today.
Well, you cannot say so exactly, because, you know, because the geography, creates the traditions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's according to where you live. The place you live in. For example, of course, some part of the old Damascus. You know, people live very close to each other. They buy their things from the same souk, from the same market. They see each other every day in the streets. You see. But now, in the new part of Damascus, of course, it is completely different, and that's why it is something like that. Something like, for example, even sometimes our neighbor in the same building, some people they don't know who lived in the same building. For example, and of course that not everybody, but because that depends on you. If you are really, I mean, in need to have contacts or not. But if you don't, of course, you can stay, I don't know, years, and you don't know who is living in the next apartment.
So people used to know their neighbors more than they do now, perhaps.
I think so. And mm-hmm. and also the tradition of big families was the common, you see. But now, no. I mean, the smallest circle of the family live alone. I mean, you know, parents and their children. And sometimes even the relationship with, you know, grandpa, grandma is not that easy, because Damascus became very big and you have to spend a lot of time driving, etc.
Yes,
et
it's changed in that way. Sure. So what was your relationship like with your parents and your three siblings as you grew up in the new part of Damascus?
Well, as a matter of fact, I spent most of my childhood, in the hands of my grandma, the mother of my mother, and my aunt. My aunt didn't get married, and she lived with her mom, with my grandma, alone. And my mother was a teacher, and she was very busy. So, I mean, I spent a quite long time with them, and I think that somehow affected my personality. Because always at home they received women, mostly women, and they liked, and that was a kind of tradition. The women reception, you see, they get together, they eat, they sing, they dance. So my aunt was actually, she sang very nicely, really she sang very nicely, and I also, they said that I sang also very nicely. So in these women receptions, you see, so me and my aunt, sometimes we sang together.
You perform for her friends?
To perform for her friends, for fun. And sometimes she told me, sometimes when I wasn't there, they asked, where is your the son of your sister? Yeah. So, I think that affected me very much. Being with women, and I mean, with this kind of, open ambience, a kind of spontaneous ambience. And, you know, I still, till now, hear, this laughs of the women. Mm-hmm. I mean, this bright and open and frank and loud laughs of women. Something that you cannot really listen, in the circles of men. Somehow.
You don't usually hear that, but as a boy, you got in on that.
Yeah, that's it.
That's interesting. When you were a child, for fun, you would sing and perform with your aunt. What other kinds of things did you do for fun as a boy?
For fun, I was not really a very funny boy because I don't know, I was very serious, And my father used to say to my mom, this boy will be a philosopher one day. So I like to read very much, you see. And for example, that's interesting. We were used to not always to buy books, to rent books. So I went with my father to the bookshop to rent books. So my father rent detective stories, you see, and I rent Dostoevsky, for example, and Chekhov. That's
light reading for your teen.
Yeah, and I remember that my father was proud to say that to his friends, that when we were, my boy rent literature.
Yes.
And and of course music, because me and my brother, we began learning music, seriously, in a school of music. When I was 10 years old, and actually the music took a lot of our time, maybe most of our time. So I think I didn't really live, the expected life of a kid. To play, to run, to bike. You know, till now I don't know how to bike, for example. You see, I didn't live this kind of life, because, and of course when I was, for example, something like 13, we began to perform, as a student of the school, and then to perform even as a quasi-professional when I was 18 or something like that. You see, I think it was a kind of very serious childhood.
Perhaps you were born to be a musician, and that's just a musician's childhood.
I loved music. And I remember that even, I don't know, I was just a small boy, maybe 7 years, and in the night I stayed awake and I sang in the veranda, for example, in the middle of the night. I liked that. And I liked, you know, these sentimental, you know, pop common songs, you see. So, yeah, maybe. So,
Aban, how did you pick violin, or was that chosen for you?
It is chosen because, you know, I remember that day, I never forget it, when my father took us to the school. It was just open. And there was a professor who was also his friend. And he said to him that I want that my two kids. So I remember that this professor looked at my hand. You see, and look at the hand of my brother, little brother, and he said, "So he piano, you violin."
Oh.
That was it, but it was by chance. But
the diviner.
It was, yeah, the violin, but it was a good chance. So
it's a wonderful chance. You're listening to WMPG Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. Today I'm visiting with Aban Zirikli from Damascus, Syria. Aban is a world-class violinist who studied in Moscow. He is the former leader of the Syrian Ministry of Culture Orchestra and has given solo, chamber, and orchestra performances throughout Syria, the Middle East, Germany, Czech Republic, Austria, the Netherlands, and the United States of America. He is a real treat to have here in the studio today. And I wondered, Aban, if you might be willing to play something for us on your beautiful, well-traveled violin.
Sure, yeah. I always like to play to myself or to the others. So I think I shall play something Arabic. And it is a song. It is a song that was sang by a the most maybe famous singer in the 20th century in the Arab area. I think a lot of people even in the U.S. heard about her, Kalsoum. And her music is considered somehow a kind of classical music. And the song is about love, of course, and it's a bit sad, sorry, but why not? Sadness is a part of our life.
Thank you.
Hmm. Thank you. For those of you who can't see Aban on your radios, I can tell you that he plays with his eyes closed, and I think you pull that music straight from your heart. When we met before, you quoted Hegel, I believe, saying, "Music is the expression of the deepest source of life in us, before language." I can understand how music can be universal because it speaks to our human experience and a language everyone can understand. I wonder what it is about music that kept you coming back enough to make a career around it.
Somehow with the music, you can be always yourself in a way. I mean, as Hegel said, because it is about, it comes from, you know, from the deepest, from there, from the source of our being. And so if I, for example, still with music, that means that I am always going back to that source, you see, and flowing freely and spontaneously again. I don't know, maybe that's it.
It connects you to your source.
Pardon?
It connects you to your source.
It connects me to my source. It's funny because sometimes really we are completely cut from our source. And you know, the life, daily life, etc., it takes us too much away from ourselves. And you know, with all these kind of systems, I mean, intellectual systems, moral systems, traditions, somehow we are completely far away from this kind of, how say that, the childhood of the real childhood of yourself. I mean, so I think human me became too much complicated and intellectual, and not anymore too much obeying the rules of, you know, cultural rules, morality rules. You see, I think we've lost a lot of the simple, let me say primitive being of us.
Mm-hmm. Our native self.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been a professional music teacher and performer since 1975. Are you presently offering music lessons of some kind?
Yeah, I am. I've just graduated also from here, from the USM, and I'm a kind of active now in performing, and I began a kind of career as a teacher also. I'm very glad to do that, and I play now with one group regularly. And
what's that group called?
Pardon?
What's that group called?
It's Kirtan. It's led by Swan Kirtan. Is led by an Indian singer, and actually we do sessions based on Indian ragas, you know, and with space for improvisation. And also I give, I don't know, small concerts here and there, and there are plans also for more concerts, and I'm glad to do that.
Well, I love that you do that. That's how I found you in the first place. I wondered if people were looking to catch up with you in a concert, where they might go. Do you have a website or somewhere where they might find what's next?
Actually, I have a website, but I don't know how to...
You're a musician, not a webmaster?
Not to get to get in it myself. I don't know, but there is a website. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe Aban Zirikli is enough to find something.
That's good. Just Google your name.
I think Aban, A-B-A-N-Z-I-R-I-K-L-Y. I think that's enough.
That'll do it. So what are your dreams for your future here in Maine, Aban?
Dreams. Well, all my life I've been musician, and first of all I just want to keep being musician, and but in Maine, well, I can say I feel very comfortable here in Maine, and so I want to be very active musician in Maine. Somehow I feel that I began to be, and so I mean, very active as a performer, as a teacher, as a thinker about music, because also I think a lot about music, and I hope, of course, and I will begin a master program in choir conducting also. That means that I will be also completely involved, how say that, in studying still music. So I think that I would be very happy, completely involved in studying, completely involved in performing and teaching. That will be great.
I think your dad was right about you. I think you are a philosopher, a musical philosopher. Aban, you are a treasure. And thank you for coming on the show today sharing your story and your music. I am so grateful.
Thank you, Kate. You are great. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Aban Zirikli. You have been listening to New Mainers Speak. We will close today's program with some of the music that Aban has thoughtfully selected for us. Could you introduce the Figaro, please?
Yeah, that's the aria from Mozart's opera Le Nozze di Figaro. Wonderful aria, which lasts only 1 minute and 30 seconds. And it's unbelievable how much beauty you can put in 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Thank you.